Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Take Action. I am your host, Pastor Keon Henderson. I give leadership to the Lighthouse Church in Houston, Texas. And to all of my Take Actioners, I like to call you Take Actioners, for all of y'all who are serious about destiny, serious about where God wants you to go, and serious about the gifts that he's put in you, you are in the right place at the right time. I need you to go to your cell phone, your Instagram, X, whatever you have. I want you to take this link and send it to everybody you know, because I've got a word today for anybody who is frustrated with their current state of affairs or the status quo. I've got something I need to tell you. That thing that I'm going to tell you is found in the book of 2 Timothy. I'm only going to read one verse. I possibly will capture two verses, but the entirety of what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to extrapolate it from one thought. We won't be long today. I just need your full attention, because I feel like I want to get right into pushing you over the edge, like really getting you on fire, like really enthusiastic about your season. And I just need everybody to type in the chat, "It's my season. It's my season. It's my season." I'm speaking to you directly and specifically. It is my season. Now, before we go forward today, I always like to give you these opportunities. And, you know, it depends on how you look at it. You know, some people will look at it as an issue, but I'm going to give it to you as an opportunity. I believe that how we go into a thing is how we come out of a thing. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now to give, so that way we don't have to worry about that later. I'm walking in a season where I believe that God is not only blessing me, but he's blessing me to be a blessing. And I hope that you're walking into that season of your life where you go from being blessed to be a blessing. And I speak blessings in and through your hands. And I want you to look at a scripture. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9, it says, "Then the people rejoice because they had an offering." Like, think about that. The people rejoice because they had an offering. "And for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly with them." This is not one of those scriptures that talks about being grateful because I received something. It's being grateful because I have something to give. And so they're putting the giving instructions up on the screen right now. All throughout this entire conversation, as you're coming in, they'll give you ample opportunities to give, so that we don't have to spend so much at the time talking about it. You'll just respond naturally to what you believe that God is laying on your heart. And I have another project in my head that's going to help some kids, like you've helped me before. And so I'm going to release that to you. I've been talking to my team about something amazing, and I believe we're getting ready to partner together in a purpose that will help us to go beyond your wildest dreams. So just keep plugging in, keep plugging away, stay locked in, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Keon Henderson TV, and make sure you get all of the alerts. Follow us on Instagram at Pastor Keon. Put your alerts on so you can find out when, where, and how we're doing God's business. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, it says, "Preach the word." It says, "Preach the word." And I want to say it specifically. It says, "And be instant in season and out of season." It says, "For the purposes of reproving, rebuking, exhorting, and with all long-suffering and with all doctrine." I want to talk up front about that A clause where it says, be instant in season and out of season. I don't want you so focused on the word preach, because this message isn't just for people who are ministers or evangelists, our bishops, our apostles, or those who may operate according to the fivefold ministry, although I give honor to all of those who do. This is not a slight to that. This is an addendum to that, that I believe that when Paul was telling Timothy to be instant, I believe that that word is palatable and can be translated to anybody in any section of any business, any ministry, any cohort, anything where you are making a difference in the world. The message for you today is don't budge. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Don't you budge. In fact, I need to see if I can get everybody's spirit and soul riled up. I just need you to put in the chat and encourage somebody else, because this one isn't for you. This one is for somebody who will see your name come up in the thread. Just type in, don't budge. Set it on fire right now. I mean, just set it on fire. Just so fast that we can't even see the comments. Don't you budge. All right, you ready? You ready to have a conversation? All right, well, let's talk today. Because when you read the book of 2 Timothy, which, by the way, for those of you all who are in need of a theological application, Timothy is not the author of this book. In fact, Paul wrote this book, and he gave it to Timothy. These are words he gave to Timothy, so the name of the book corresponds with the receiver, not the author. And Paul, who's the author, gives a long description of things that would become more prevalent in the last days. Now, how many of y'all believe, this is not to be morbid or to be scary, but how many of y'all believe we're in the last days? Okay, now they've been saying that for a long time, right? And we are. We just don't know the day or the hour when the Son of Man will come, but we are in the last days. And he says in 2 Timothy, go back and check my math on this. I believe if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, somebody check me on that in the chat, as I know you will. I believe if you go back to chapter 3, Paul starts talking about what will happen in the last days and in perilous times. And he says that perilous times shall come. He doesn't say they may come. He doesn't say if they come. He says perilous times shall come. Now, what does perilous mean? Perilous means that there will come a time full of danger and risk. Full of risk. Okay, so when you see the word perilous times, I don't want you to just think, and although it is a negative word in connotation, what I'm really trying to get you to understand today is that the time for you to take a risk is upon us. Like, I really think that I could stop there and just settle in and let all of you all think that this is the time not to avoid risk, but to anticipate and intentionally take a risk. The destiny that God has for you is not, nor will it ever be found in your comfort zone. Okay? I'm gonna say it again. The destiny, the outcome, the rhythm that God has for you is absolutely not found in your comfort zone. This is the time for you to take a huge, crazy, big, unexpected, unconceivable risk. And it's going to be dangerous. Walk with me. It's risk season. And it's going to be dangerous. Now, Paul says, this is how you will know that perilous times have come. He says, number one, you're in danger when you are surrounded by people who are in love with themselves. For men shall be lovers of themselves. That's what the Bible says. That means that we're in dangerous times because we are in a self-absorbed society. I hate to say it, and I'm not talking about anybody individually, but we are so self-consumed. Fact, I did a study, or I studied a study. It was a recent study, and it was published in Psychological Science. And it suggested that people across the globe are becoming more individualistic over time. Listen to this. Not only are people becoming more individualistic, but so are our countries. Listen to this. In 2024, Americans will need a visa just to enter into the European Union. Now, there used to be unregulated travel. You needed a passport, but unregulated travel between the two nations because we are allies. But even now, because our societies are becoming so individualistic, you have countries getting together to create other currencies that are not currencies that are currently in use. You have countries where there was unregulated travel outside of an ID or a passport. You're going to need that now to enter into allied land. I'm not downing anybody. I'm just bringing up to the forefront that there is an individualistic approach that is taking place to everything. Relationships. Everybody's becoming an individual. So you're in danger when you're going somewhere and you are surrounded by people who love themselves. He says, for men shall be boasters. I mean, men shall be proud. Men shall be blasphemers. What is blaspheming? Blaspheming is speaking irrelevantly about God and our sacred things. And here it is. This is the one where you should know that we are in perilous times. He says, you will know we are in perilous times when children are disobedient to parents. Now, I want to know, are there any parents that feel like saying, whoo, child, or man, bro, dog, whatever comes to mind? Not only in your own children, but children are becoming so disrespectful these days, you can look at somebody else's child across the aisle at the grocery store or at the movie theater, or you can hear these, you can see the videos on Instagram and X and TikTok of what young people are doing in classrooms right now, and you will know we are in perilous times, because although parents are not teachers in some regard, just respecting your elders is a sign that we are in perilous time, or lack thereof. The Bible says that men shall become unthankful and unholy. Don't turn off the TV yet. Don't click the phone off yet, because I'm building a case. The Bible says we're in perilous times because people will be without natural affection. Nobody will tell the truth anymore. Just false accusers. Look at social media and look at all of the false accusations that come across on people all day long. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Like, even when good people come up and pop up against the surface, there are bad things said about them. Traitors, arrogance, And here's how he finishes off in verse 4. He says, and you will know you are in perilous times because people will love pleasure more than they love God. Guys, it's dangerous. He says, we will have a form of godliness, but we will be denying the power thereof. This is how you know you're in perilous times. And so take all of that, and then Paul says to Timothy, with all of that in mind, I need you to preach. And I need you to be enthusiastic about your job in the presence of a society that is individualistic, in the presence of family members who are high-minded, in the presence of loved ones who don't tell the truth, when you are being betrayed, when you are being underpaid, when you are being underappreciated, I need you to preach. And how do I need you to preach? I need you to be instant. When shall you be instant? In season and out of season. Please hear me. Because what I'm about to say is going to make sense to you. The backdrop of this conversation, he says, in spite of it all, you will encounter negativity, but I need you to be instant, in season, and out of season. Now, what does instant mean? Because in our vernacular, instant means right away. It's not what he's saying. The word instant is from the Greek word epistemai, which means to stand your post. Preach the word. Stand at your post in season, out of season. It's a military term. That's important because standing at your post gives the idea of warfare. I need you to know you're in a war right now. And I won't delve too deep into spiritual warfare or the subject thereof, but what I will say that declaring the word of God, listen to me, is the highest form of spiritual warfare there is. I wish you thought what I said was important. I wish that you thought what I just said was important. I wish that you thought that what I just said was important. He says, be instant. Stand your post. Preach the word. Preaching the word, knowing the word, reciting the word, regurgitating the word, admonishing the word is the highest form of spiritual warfare that there is on the planet. Love speaking in tongues. Love singing praise and worship music. Love clapping my hands. Love stomping my feet. But when Jesus was in the wilderness and the enemy tempted him, he did not praise. He did not sing a song. He said to the devil, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. When you are in the throes of catastrophe, you've got to find a way to preach the word. When I say preach the word, I'm not talking about in the pulpit. I'm talking about declaring the word of God because there is no other thing on the planet that makes the devil tremble than somebody who can go through hell and still speak heaven. Knowing the word of God is the highest form of spiritual warfare there is. So when I feel weak, I can say that I am strong. When I am poor, I can declare according to the word of God that I am rich. When I am borrowing, I can declare by the word of God that I am lending. When I am beneath, I can declare by the word of God that I am above only. Knowing the word of God is the highest form of spiritual warfare there is. I want you to get a scripture or two or three, and I want you to memorize them. And the next time the devil plays with your mind, I want you to say, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I ever seen it seed begging bread. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every word that comes out of their mouth, they shall be condemned by every lie. I want you to get the word of God in your heart. You don't have to know it in the King James. You don't have to know it in the New International Version. You don't have to know it in the ESV. You can recite it in the Message Bible. Find you a scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Knowing the word of God is the highest form of spiritual warfare you can have in the entire planet. Wherever a man or a woman, or whenever I should say, a man or a woman of God declares the word of God, listen to me, it has the potential to snatch that person out of the light of bondage and put you on a path towards divine victory. I'll say that again. Well, can you come here real quick so I can look them in the face? Look, y'all looking at me? Whenever you, talking to you, whenever you declare the word of God over your life, it alone has the potential to snatch you out of whatever you are in. I don't care if it's a bad mood. Victory is mine, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Out. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call. If you know, you don't have to know this whole Bible, but if you can get just a few scriptures and hide them in your heart, it has the potential to snatch you out of your temper. It has the potential. Now, it has the potential because you have to give the word permission to work in your life. The same way you gave anger permission. The same way you gave anxiety permission. The same way you gave a jealous and haughty spirit. Or, let's go back to this list, high-mindedness, disobedience. The same way we give all of those things that Paul tells us through Timothy that can take over our lives, you can give the word the same authority and you can believe those things that are not, and you can speak those things that are not as what? Though they were. Whenever you use the word, it has the potential to resonate with you and free your mind in such a way that you don't walk around in bondage all day. I just need everybody to just type in the chat, Lord, strengthen my spirit. Lord, strengthen my spirit. Lord, I'm still praying with you. Encourage me mentally. Are you here? I mean, like lock in. If you're driving, don't do this, but if you're at home in a safe space, just lock in for a moment. I feel the Holy Spirit working. Lord, encourage me mentally. Lord, strengthen me spiritually. Bless the works of my hand, and everywhere my feet walk, give it to me. Can you make those four declarations? Can you make those four declarations? Lord, strengthen me spiritually. Encourage me mentally. Bless the works of my hands and give me everything my feet walk on. I feel like, oh, man, that's good. Man, that's good. I'm going to say it one more time. this isn't even in my notes. This is just the Lord giving me a word of knowledge. Ask him to strengthen you spiritually. Ask him to encourage you mentally. Ask him to strengthen the works of your hands. And ask him to give you everything your feet tread upon. That means that if you walked in the house, it's yours. That means if you test drove the car, it's yours. That means that if you want the strip center, go walk on the abandoned property. That means if you want to own the apartment complex, walk around it 7 times. And on the 7th day, I want you to shout, it's mine. I want you to have the courage to go walk on it, to touch it, to believe it, so you can receive it. If that resonates with your spirit, somebody shout, it's mine. It's mine. If it resonates with your spirit, just shout, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. I'm going for it, because I got a family to look after. I got kids. I've got a future. I've got an expected end. I'm not in this job to work, not this world, I should say, on this job to work a 9-to-5. That's what I do, but that's what God is using to get me to where he wants me to get to. I've got a daughter. I've got a 3-year-old. I've got a 5-year-old. I've got a 10-year-old. I've got a 12-year-old. I've got adult children. I've got all of these people who are surrounding me, who are depending on me to be instant. Somebody who's depending on me to be in my season. And I can't budge because it's hard. That's why Paul told Timothy, you be instant, son. I'm telling you right now, daughter. I'm telling you, son, be instant. Because when you are in your correct position, help me, Holy Ghost. When you are in your correct position, God is actually using you to get other people in theirs. You being in your position will prompt your nieces, your nephews, your parents, your children, your godchildren. You being in position is actually the key to your entire legacy finding theirs. I speak to you right now. I know you're praying for your daughter. I know you're praying for your son. I know you're praying for your spouse. I know you're praying for your loved ones. But let me lay this on your shoulders, or as the old adage would say, let me put this in your pipe so you can smoke it. Everybody in your family is waiting on you to get in position so God can jumpstart the process. Nobody in your family is going to be a millionaire until you become one. Nobody in your family is going to be psychologically free until you get your mind free. Nobody in your family is going to find the dimension of courage that's necessary to walk to the next dimension until you find the level of courage. I need you to get on the yellow brick road. I need you to find your heart. I need you to find your brain. I need you to get to the place where you're off to the destiny that God has for you. And let me tell you, when you get on your journey, you would be surprised how many people are waiting on you to find your position so they can find theirs. People are waiting on you. In fact, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I've got visions that God has given me, and I need vision partners that can help walk the journey. I'm waiting on you. Tell your neighbor in the chat, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to open up that company. I'm tired of spending my money where people don't appreciate me. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I need to rent this service, but I want to rent it from somebody who's a believer. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to open up your AI business, and I'm waiting on you to find out how to matriculate through your technology. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to open up your school because that's where I'm going to put my child. I'm waiting on you to open up your company because that's where I'm going to. I'm waiting on you to design your clothes because that's what I'm going to wear. I'm waiting on you to come up with your product. I'm waiting on you. Somebody's waiting on you, and God has put the thing in earthen vessels. Now you have to make sure that you refuse to move in spite of the lack of funding, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the lack of notoriety. God says, don't budge. He who has began a good work in you shall establish it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Don't you move. Don't you budge. I need you to be instant. I need you to get in your correct position so that other people can find theirs. When you become a CEO, then people who are looking for a job will find one. When you become a marketing guru, then you'll finally be able to market to the masses with companies that actually believe the things of God. God needs his people in every genre of business. He needs you in Hollywood. He needs you in Bollywood. He needs you on Wall Street. God doesn't need all of his successful people in the church. He needs successful hedge fund managers. He needs successful bankers. He needs successful gurus. He needs successful movie writers. He needs successful producers. God doesn't need all of his people in the pulpit. He needs us in the highways, the byways, and the hedges. And I speak, there is an uprising in this last day of people who are believers of God, who are adherers of sound doctrine, that are going to start to pop up in the millionaire status and the billionaire status and the debt-free status. And you don't have to be a preacher to be anointed. I spoke this word because just as Paul was instant in his arena, God told me to tell you it is time for you to be instant in yours. And it is not just in the word of God. I actually need you to have the word of God in you no matter what you're in. This isn't a message about more preachers. This is a message about people who don't preach, who still use the word. People who will preach the word on the sets of $200 million movies. People who will preach the word at a conference table with billions of dollars being discussed. When I leave you today, I am headed to a meeting to be on the board of an organization that deposits $400 million a day. I will be the poorest person in the room, but I will be preaching the word when I get in there. And I will be instant in season and out of season, because God is aligning my steps and God is putting me in position, because I know now that when I'm in position, there will be a rank and file of people who will be falling in position behind me. And so it is important that I get in rooms that I have not previously been invited in, so I can show you how to kick the door down on the door that is blocking you from a destiny. I need everybody to shout, type it in all caps, don't budge. In other words, I'm telling you, this is going to be a hard one. Listen to me. I'm telling you to prepare. I'm telling you to get prepared. Adequate preparation is not always fun, and it isn't always easy. That's why most people don't look forward to it. Adequate preparation often appears boring, is not exciting, is uninteresting, particularly to those who are anesthetized with the euphoria of spontaneity and results. Here's what the Lord told me to tell you, and you've heard this statement before. Preparation prevents poor practice. If you don't start preparing, you're going to stay poor in an area of life. And I'm not just talking about money. You're going to be joy poor, happy poor, peace poor. When you prepare, you give God a table to set. He will prepare the table in the presence of your enemy, but if you haven't built a table, you haven't given God anything to prepare. You work on the table, God will set it. Everybody, just say in your spirit, get prepared. Get prepared. Listen to me. How many of y'all are interested in me giving you a hack on how to eliminate stress for your life? I'm just going to raise my hand. I'm just going to pretend like I can see you. You want to know how you can get stress out of your life? I promise you what I'm getting ready to say is a hack. Well, come here real quick. I'm getting ready to tell him, Jason, how to get stress out of their life. He's laughing because I don't call him Jason. He's got like so many names. I can call him Christopher. I can call him Jason. I can call him Woe. But he and I right now are connected. I'm going to use my voice. He's going to use that lens to give you the best advice that anybody has given you today on how to eliminate stress out of your life. Are you ready? Come closer. This is going to be uncomfortable. Are you ready? Prepare. Back up. Prepare. If you just stop doing everything at the last minute, if you just stop thinking that you are such an amazing multitasker, if you just stop trying to keep everything in your head and actually get you a legal pad, go back old school and write the vision and make it plain, when you start to prepare, you would see the stress levels in your life begin to go down. Yesterday was probably one of the most busiest days of my life. Today is going to be just like that. Even though I'm talking to you tonight, I still have much to do, and I still have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning for a flight. And when I get there, I have to minister on the same date. By the way, those of y'all who are in the Boston area, I'll be at Jubilee Church in the morning or tomorrow night. I'll be headed there in the morning with my good friend, Pastor Matthew Thompson at the Jubilee Church. But I've got all kind of stuff going on. So I got home last night at 10 p.m. knowing that I had to get up at 6:30 a.m. But I sat down at my desk and I put the finishing touches on this message so that I could speak to you today and I have to worry about waking up on today with the long day that I had to make sure that I was prepared to speak to you and that I wasn't up here just trying to think about it on the fly. Although I didn't get as much sleep as I wanted, I don't have as much stress as I could have. You know why? Because I could prepare. And let me tell you something. If you prepared more, you wouldn't need as much sleep because the quality of sleep that you got would feed you. Most of y'all are laying down, but you're not asleep because you're not prepared. You're in the bed, but you're not resting because you're not prepared. So you wake up tired because all you did was lay down for 6 hours thinking about how to do what you would do once you got out of the bed. If you master preparation, it avoids stress buildup and anxiety. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Come back. Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry. This is another one I got. Okay. All right. Now, if you ain't going to be honest, turn off your phone and save your battery. Click your iPad off. Turn off your TV. If you're not going to be honest, I just need honest people. How many of you currently feel inadequate in any space in your life? You're looking at somebody else, they're ascending. You're looking at yourself, either you're descending or you're staying steady, and you secretly have a feeling of inadequacy in your spirit, and you're battling like hell that it might not turn into jealousy and frustration. Talk to me. I just need honest people. Because if you're going to fake, I can't help you. But you feel that inadequacy in your spirit. I'm going to tell you how to get rid of that feeling. Prepare. The person or the thing that makes you feel inadequate is only a reflection of their preparation and your lack thereof. If you prepared yourself, you could be in the same situation as the person in the job that has the position that you could do, but you didn't prepare for. Help me, Holy Spirit. Be instant. Stay prepared. Get ready or stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Stay at your post. Don't leave your position. Don't give up because it's hard. Don't look the other way because you don't like the sight of what you see. Don't get weary in well doing. Stop crying about how difficult it is. Stop worrying about the outcome. You have to reprove, rebuke, exhort, long suffer, study your doctrine, hone in on your craft, make other patterns, try different swatches, try different colors, try different styles. Whatever business you are in, keep working until failing doesn't hurt anymore. And when failing doesn't hurt anymore, you're instant. Sometimes I get up and I preach and I feel so bad about how good it was not. But you know what I do? I go open my Bible and I start studying for the next time. Because I'm not going to let me not doing a good job make me quit on my job. The moment I get done with you and I don't like how I felt or the content that I gave you, I feel as if I have not given you my all. I go right back to preparing so that as often as I can prevent poor practice. I just came to tell you with the remaining few minutes I have. Don't give up. Whatever your post is, don't leave it. It's yours. When the Bible says be instant in season, it's the word kairos. Don't leave your season. But watch this, when he says out of season, it's a kairos. The A gives a negative connotation to the word, puts a negative spin on the word season. So the question that God answers in the text is, God, what do I do in a bad season? And here is what God told me to tell you. The same thing you would do in a good one. When I say I just said something, when I say I just said something, God told me to tell you when you asked the question, God, what do I do when I'm confused? God says the same thing you would do if you had clarity. God, what do I do? How do I act when I don't have money? The same way you would act if you had 5 bank accounts full of money. God, what do I do? How do I behave? How do I appreciate you when I'm waiting? Do the same thing you would do as if the prayer was already answered. Be instant, in season, and out of season. I'll close by saying this. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, continue in the things that you have learned and are assured of, knowing who taught you. Don't budge. Nehemiah, stay on the wall in spite of Sanballat and Tobiah. Hebrew boys, don't bow in the fiery furnace no matter what Nebuchadnezzar has to say. Joseph, don't worry about Potiphar's wife's attempts because she may be able to accuse you, but she will never be able to convict you. Whoever I'm talking to, wherever you are in the world, the message that God gave me today was to tell you, refuse to give up your position. Don't budge when it's hard. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Lord, touch my sons and daughters, my brothers and my sisters, my friends, with the courage to stand under the mighty hand of God. Let no weapon formed against them prosper. Let every tongue that rises up against them be condemned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us on another episode of Take Action. Don't budge. Stand still. They're giving you an opportunity to give right now. You'll see the giving instructions up on the screen. Some of us have been giving all the way through. For those of y'all who joined us late, the Bible says that we are to give and be cheerful. I want you to open up your app, open up the website, text to give, and I want you to make sure you partner with God so that when it is your time, you will be on record as having been honest with God with all of your first fruits. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you on the other side. Hey, everybody. My name is Pastor Keon Henderson. I am the founder of an organization called Take Action Now. People are always direct messaging me and texting me and saying, Pastor, what are you doing? How can I be a part of what you're doing? And I know everybody doesn't want to be a part of the local church, but what if I told you I had a way for you to partner with me so that we can effect change throughout the world? Hence, Take Action Now, a 501c3 nonprofit organization committed to advancing individual agency and social progress by protecting, strengthening, and uplifting the underserved and disenfranchised throughout the world. We're doing humanitarian things, teaching entrepreneurism, teaching home ownership, and institutional inequities, cultural deficits. We have our ear to the ground, and we need your help to make a difference. Whether it is making a sizable donation to the estate of a young woman who lost her battle with cancer via the internet, and we were able to make a difference there, or whether it is in a underserved community in the Caribbean islands where the children were playing amidst rocks and glass, and we came in and broke ground recently on a park so that athletes and cheerleaders and young people in that community can have a safe place to stir up the gift inside of them. Whether it is paying the utility bills in cold climates for seniors or just helping basketball players get the proper uniforms of football players, it's just us making a difference. Through financial literacy and technological empowerment and mentoring services, this is what we do. And all I'm asking you to do is become a partner with me right now. And I want you to go visit takeactionnow.org. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today.